At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This one got your attention, though. This is from Sherm's podcast. Richard Sherman spent time, seemingly all week, by the way, at Niners camp. And he talked to Shanny, and he talked to Brock, and he talked to Kittle, and he talked to Diamador Lenore.
I'm going to be the best corner in the league this year.
I love it. You heard it here first on the Richard Sherman podcast, the best corner in the league, Diamador Lenore.
The money didn't change me. You know, I really would come in and work and just prove my worth. I was just telling them that I'm ready for any challenge. If it's got to be 99 plays in man or if it got to be 99 in zone, I'm willing to back up anything that I put out there.
Do you feel like DB and the other coaches have kind of leaned on you to be that voice in the room?
I mean, all our examples has left. You know, I got to show that leadership to show them how we set the standard here.
Okay, there's Diamador Lenore. He is going to be the best corner in the league this year. You know, this is how guys talk, especially receivers, DBs. This is kind of how it is. But I don't know. I got nothing against the bravado.
Sure.
And I'm interested to see how the 49ers deploy him.
Yeah.
Is he following WR1 or is he taking one side of the field? Like, how do they plan on doing it?
A lot of times that is a personal preference. And also what he said in that cut is, 99 plays a man, 99 plays a zone, doesn't matter. When you play zone, obviously you're just going to play a side. And if you play man, that's where it might be a time where he does want to travel and just match up against the best receiver. And I did a little bit of a dive, not a total deep dive, but just looking at Pro Football Focus and the receivers they're going to go against, he's going to go against. And, you know, how difficult will that task be? And just running down their list, and of their top 32 receivers that they listed, he's going to face 14 of them. Including...
Wait, of the top how many?
32 they listed.
He's going to face the top 14
of
the
32.
Top. Okay.
So that's not easy.
Like, yeah, it is interesting. You think of, are there any good teams on the schedule? Maybe not that many, but are there some good receivers? Because there aren't great quarterbacks. There's not great quarterbacks. We brought this up. Four of their games are against quarterbacks who are in Sando's Tier 1 and Tier 2.
Yep.
And Matt Stafford is the tier one guy, so you face him twice. And then there's Baker Mayfield and C.J. Stroud.
That's right.
Everybody else is tier three or below.
Yeah, you've got six games against tier four, and I wrote them down. It's Flacco, but I just put Flacco, Cleveland.
I guess, yeah, Shador, someone.
Richardson, Indianapolis, and Rattler, New Orleans. Like, those three, no matter who they have, it's a tier four.
Well, and they're facing the number one pick in the draft, who's not even eligible to be on the list anymore because he hasn't played yet, and that's Cam Ward. For the Tennessee Titans, they'll be facing him as well.
Yeah. And
In theory.
Yeah, I guess I didn't put down a Tennessee quarterback. I have Daniel Jones in there as tier four. Is he on Tennessee? I don't even know who he plays for.
He's along with Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis.
There you have
One of them is going to be the starter. My guess would be Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and I don't to start. But, and then maybe by the time the Niners play him, it'll be different. But
we'll
just
see.
Looking at the receivers, you've got Puka Nacua and Nico Collins who are tier two. Ranked number five and number seven overall. They're on the schedule. You've got Mike Evans and Terry McLaurin. You've got London Neighbors and Thomas Jr. Those are all tier three.
McLaurin's not on the schedule this year.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see where he all ends up, but Washington. But anyway, go ahead.
My bad.
No, you keep going.
Davante Adams you're going to face twice.
Yep.
He's number 16 overall. You've got Godwin, DJ Moore, Olave in tier four, and then Harrison Jr., Smith and Jigba. And then Josh Downs at the bottom of the list. So
did you mention Brian Thomas?
Yeah, he's at the bottom of tier three, right ahead of Davante Adams.
Well, and the PFF thing is also based on last year, and I think we should try to take a moment here and do some projecting because, for example, Brian Thomas last year with Jacksonville's a rookie, and he was phenomenal, but I think he's going to be much better this year. Take Tampa. Godwin is always dealing with injury, but they've got... And you got to help me pronounce this. There's a rookie with Tampa who everybody is buzzing about. Emeka Ebuka?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I got it.
You worked your way through it.
I did.
Ohio State wide receiver.
Ohio State. Anyway, he's phenomenal. Supposedly having a really good camp. We'll believe it when we see it. But they're excited about him. You can't guard all these guys, Demo. So Tampa's got a core. You mentioned Puka and Devontae Adams. Can't guard them both.
Right.
You're going to have to pick one of those guys. Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You'll face Marvin Harrison Jr. twice. Drake London in Atlanta is on your schedule. Malik Nabers, Nico Collins. Even go to Carolina. There's a lot of buzz about Tet McMillan there. You know, we go to Cleveland. I don't even know who the quarterback is. I don't even really know who's going to step forward as their, you know, top receiver. Jerry Jeudy was good last year. What have you, Calvin Ridley in Tennessee. Chicago's receiving core is interesting. The bottom line is this. His assignment is probably harder than the 49ers' assignment.
Agreed.
Is, I guess, the way I would say it.
Yeah, because the receivers that he will have to go up against, assuming he lines up on their side or they man match and he follows them across, it's going to be more difficult than, for example, what the overall defense is going to have to contend with when you look at the quarterbacks. And even if it's Penix, who is tier four, or you know, Kirk Cousins, who's at the bottom of tier three in Atlanta, and all those other teams that are unsettled and replete with tier four guys, overall the defense is not going to face that much of a daunting opposition in quarterback. There's no Allen, no Jackson, no Burrow, no Mahomes. So for your top five, or the top four, according to Mike Sando and The Athletic and his quarterback tiers, you're not going to have to worry about him.
Right. Well, what I really like with Robert Saleh, this is the way I'd say it, because I think you saw it in the first quarter in the preseason game against Denver. I'm kind of high on the idea of Saleh's defense against a young quarterback. I think that he's going to really do some things to try to disguise this Niner defense and try to force young quarterbacks into mistakes. So even if they're not the greatest quarterbacks, are they young, impressionable quarterbacks? Week one, Seattle, Sam Darnold. I mean, young-ish, but also been around the block some. Might he be able to handle it? New Orleans has three guys who all are just either young or not good. So, like, that's going to be a one where you would figure Saleh can feast. Your division guys, Kyler Murray and Matt Stafford, they've been around the block. Trevor Lawrence is kind of sort of in between. And you've got names like Baker Mayfield and potentially Russell Wilson on the schedule, but maybe you've got Penix and Jackson Dart, and you've got Bryce Young, and you might have Shedeur Sanders, and you've got Cam Ward, and you might have Anthony Richardson, and you've got Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
You have all of those QBs on your schedule. That's why my rose today was for Robert Saleh. I love that matchup for the Niners.
You might have six or more games against either rookies or second-year players.
Totally.
If you get into, you know, Penix, and you mentioned, you know, Caleb Williams. And
Anthony Richardson would technically be a year three, but he's barely played enough games. Cam Ward is going to be in his first year. He's the number one pick in the draft. We'll see who Cleveland plays.
Bryce Young would be year three also,
year three, right?
But
Cleveland is probably playing a rookie by then. That's week 13.
New Orleans, I would guess. I mean, do they have anybody who's not a rookie?
Spencer Rattler's not a rookie.
And I guess Haener's not either, right? I think he was around last year, but what are we talking about?
Shuck is the guy who, you know, is their draft pick. And then, yeah, we'll see where the Giants are in the whole Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart thing. But there's another rookie, and that's week 9, so he could be playing. And then, by the way, we're making all these guesses, and we don't know who's gotten hurt. You know what I mean? Like, there could be injuries that lead to other young guys playing in there.
Yeah.
But I think even in a perfect world, the Niners are probably going to get a third of their schedule against really, really young, green-type quarterbacks. And I love Saleh in that matchup.
Yeah, and that's why that was my rose with the 49ers. And if you have a rose and a thorn for the Niners upcoming, 888-957-9570, my rose was the schedule, not only because of the teams, but what we just talked about and the quarterbacks that you're going to have to face are not world beaters. They have not been world beaters. And if you have a young defense, that's going to give you a better opportunity, I think, to, you know, not get run out of games. You mentioned this earlier, Green Bay, you didn't have Brock Purdy. You went to Lambeau and you got run out of the building. You turned right around, you played Buffalo, Josh Allen, you got run out of the building. And So the schedule last year and the quarterbacks you faced, far more difficult than this year.
I love, though, getting back to sort of the launch point, though. I do think that that D'Amador Lenore gets to go up against some great receivers. But then again, some of those receivers, you're only as good as who's throwing the ball to you. Like, I'm really interested to see Malik Nabers this year. This is another little, if you want, because I know a lot of people, I'm one of them, like, fantasy drafts are going to kind of maybe start this weekend. It's a little early still, but some people will do it. You'll start this weekend. And this is something to think about. I certainly do. You know, everybody's hot on wide receivers early. Really look at the schedule and then also think about the QB. And so there are receivers that people are so excited about, and I look at them and I go, maybe. Maybe. I'd sure like to know what the hell's going on with Matt Stafford before I get excited about Puka and Devontae. You want to know what the cruelest thing of all time for Devontae Adams would be is if he ends up playing with Jimmy Garoppolo again. Jimmy almost drove him crazy.
Oh, that's right. The receivers, Doc.
Dude, you're one back tweak away from them being back together again. The receiver, Doc. He was hucking his helmet all over the sideline because of Garoppolo.
Garoppolo tried to get him killed. Well, didn't try to, but he almost did.
Right? So, like, think about that. Think about that. Malik Nabers, are you with Russell Wilson? Is that going to go well? Are you with Jackson Dart, you know, a little bit later on in the season? Is that going to go well? I don't know. I don't know. So, and New Orleans. Ooh, Chris Olave. What about Chris Olave? Like, I am not, like, go ahead and take this. You guys will know now if you're drafting near me when we do our work league. We're not doing Saints this year. I'm not doing Saints. The hell am I doing with Saints?
Who's their punter?
They're not moving the ball.
Oh, we don't draft punters?
Their center just got hurt out for the whole year, too.
They're not moving.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut.
Be an artist.
Be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
On the ball. Like, maybe Kamara somewhere on the board. But I'm drafting offenses, and I'm not drafting New Orleans Saints. The Niners should kill that team. They're not trying to win this year. Speaking of their punter, that's what they did on the season. Tyler Shuck.
Well,
I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Is Peyton Manning's nephew eligible to come out next year?
Yeah, but is his grandpa already was like, you know, no, not doing it.
Yeah, and, well, 2 years from now, the Saints will still suck, so he'll still probably be drafted
fair.
By hey,
so you're saying Archie doesn't want another Manning in New Orleans with fans with bags over their heads?
I don't know if it's about New Orleans. Who knows who's going to get the number one overall pick in the draft, but right now they're suggesting that Arch Manning is not going to play just this year and then go. He's gonna stay. And that's their business decision, at least as of now.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that can change between now and January.
And it's not always great to be the number one overall pick in football.
That's true.
Because unless it's a team that just happened to be really, really bad as a one-off for 1 year, usually it's a team that is usually always bad with a bad organization, coaching upheaval, and not a lot of talent. So best of luck, Caleb Williams, and all the best if you land in New Orleans. Well, that's brutal.
And Caleb Williams now has supposedly, like, the bee's knees offensive coaching mind of the last couple of years. Everybody loves Ben Johnson, who was the offensive coordinator in Detroit. He's now the head coach in Chicago. Will that unlock him? Maybe. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I don't know, but you're not wrong. You know what I mean? Like, if the Cleveland Browns end up with the number one pick, like, ask Baker Mayfield. I'd be scared. I would be scared always to be drafted by certain teams if I were a young quarterback.
Cam Ward in Tennessee, probably getting an early crack, and best of luck. Caleb Williams last year, rough rookie year. Things look better now. Bryce Young still searching for it the year before in Carolina. And then Trevor Lawrence in 2021, early flash, early pop, and now fizzle. So If you go back, like Joe Burrow, that worked out well. I mean, they made it all the way to the Super Bowl, and they got talent around him and a great head coach, so that might be the model for Caleb Williams.
So we're sitting here also, though, talking about D'Amador Lenore and his comments on Richard Sherman's podcast that he's going to be the best corner in the league this year. Okay, bravado, great, I get it. This is the way a lot of people in professional sports talk, no problems with that. But flashback to something Guru asked us in the middle of the crossover where he's not feeling good right now about 49er injuries. And I'm like, yeah, well, of course, everyone's not feeling good about it. But my question, because he was kind of like, are you worried about the injuries? And my response was, I'm never not worried about injuries when you're following an NFL season. You're always one play away from your season being over. Always. Like, and you just have to sort of like deal with that. The Chiefs are one lineman falling on Patrick's leg away from the season being over. And that's largely the case. I know there are exceptions. Nick Foles, Brock Purdy, we can play these games. Jeff Hostetler. But it's very, very rare that stuff like that happens. So I always worry about it. And Lenore is a great example of another player who I almost view not quite quarterback level, but what do the Niners do if that guy is at some point not available this year? What do they do at the cornerback position? Sure, there's Renardo Green. They're apparently digging Upton Stout, who has not played in the NFL as of yet. There are other players that you can turn and burn and depth there and whatnot, but oof, that's one guy that's on my A list for the Niners this year of please, please don't get hurt long term. D'Amador Lenore.
No doubt. And, you know, we had him on our show when we were down at Laughing Monk. He called in and he reminded us that he's never given up a touchdown in the NFL so far in his young career. He's got a clean record as far as I can remember the interview and him saying that. And
they should have me circled.
Yeah. And Upton Stout, for me, physically projects as a natural nickel slot corner. I don't know if he would even be big enough to go to the outside. So, yeah.
Also, never given up a touchdown in the NFL.
That is true. But you do look deeper. And, you know, Trey Brown out of Seattle he's kind of just a guy. Maybe he could step up and fill it in. But ultimately, all of this is so reliant on the defensive front pressuring quarterbacks anyway that I'm with you about D'Amador Lenore. I think you could survive it. If the pass rush is nasty, it becomes something you can mitigate a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other side to it, and I wanted to get this in there too, because we were talking about the AFC West. I think it's got the potential to be the best division in football. And then there's the NFC West. And so Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, I thought kind of the ultimate moment of our conversation with him yesterday was on the way out the door. And I asked him, like, who do you pick to win the NFC West? And it wasn't what he said, it was how he said it that kind of grabbed our attention. Take a listen. Bucky, you're putting your chip in whose circle to win the NFC West?
Oh, the Rams. I mean, the Rams are the best team in the division.
Okay, the Rams.
Okay.
Why couldn't you have just said the Rams? The Rams, I'm picking the Rams. He goes, oh.
Are you really asking me that?
The Rams.
I told you earlier that's a great question. That's a stupid question.
Yeah, like
what kind of question is that?
Thank you. It was like I was a dum-dum or something over here for even asking the question.
Yeah.
And then what we didn't know in that moment with Bucky is that earlier in the day, after announcing that Matt Stafford was finally going to return to practice, he didn't. And excuse me if I don't want to grab a Sharpie and write it down in ink just because Steiny spoke to someone in L.A. who apparently thinks Matt's fine. I think Matt Stafford's August sounds a lot like Christian McCaffrey's last August, and so I don't know. And this is an absolute burner of an issue for the San Francisco 49ers. Do you know what it would mean?
Jimmy.
Well, there's that. But if Matt Stafford is in some way weakened or unavailable for a large part of this year, dude, you have no reason or excuse to not win this division. None.
That depends on how many games he misses and whether or not, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is still upright and able to hand the ball off to a guy who I think is going to have a very good year in Kyron Williams.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
He's good, and their defense is nasty. So there are, and I hate the expression, there are many ways to skin a cat. I've never done it. I'd imagine there's really only one way to do it.
Yeah, I vote against doing it.
I definitely would. I love cats. And in this case, if you have a great defense and a run game that could be excellent, you could survive having Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback. You may not thrive, but you could survive it.